anytime, anywhere. And we'll just turn to God. Amen. Then again, let me say this today. To live in freedom, to be free, is a wonderful thing. Do you suppose sometimes we take it for granted?
Sure.
I thought of what it has cost, and I'm not going to speak here spiritually. I'll come to that in a moment. But what it has cost for us in America to live in freedom. On that July day in 1776, when 55 men took a pen in their hands, they began to sign the Declaration. They said, they made an oath. They say, we pledge our lives. We pledge our riches. We pledge our honor for the sake of no longer being under the dominion of the British Isles or Great Britain or the King. They were willing to lay all the line. We pledge our lives, our wealth, our riches, and our sacred honor. If you know anything about history, some of those who signed that document that day gave their lives. And some lost everything they had, their farms, their wealth, everything. They lost it because they wanted freedom.
Amen.
They were willing to give whatever it took to have freedom, and no doubt you are thankful today in your hearts for the freedom that is ours because, and it came at a high cost, but we are indeed thankful. To be free is a wonderful thing, and I'll say that more than one time today. It's a wonderful thing to be free, but most of all, free from sin. I can stand before you this morning without any reservations in what I'm going to tell you. I am free from sin. Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Some people preach that you have to sin every day. That is sin having dominion over you. I'm here to declare today, sin shall not have dominion over you. Jesus has the dominion. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing that chorus, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask some questions. Is that your experience this morning? Have the chains been broken that had you bound? And every one of us were bound in sin. Have your sins been washed away to be remembered against you no more? Have you come out of darkness into the glorious light? Have you been set free? If you have, say amen. I don't know how you felt when you came up from the altar that day or night or whenever it was, when you turned your life over to God, but I was free. Free from sin. In 1963, after centuries of persecution and ridicule and segregation and mistreatment in the rest of the African Americans in America. I can remember, this might share something of my age, but I can remember going into a bus station and there was a sign at the water fountain for whites only. I can remember going certain places and there would be bathrooms for whites only. There was a sign at the entrance of Fox Hill where I lived. Only one way to get in unless you came by boat. A peninsula. There was a sign one time as you entered into Fox Hill for the black man, don't let the sun go down on your back. In 1963, a Baptist preacher by the name of Martin Luther King gathered that group together on the mall in our capital, Washington, D.C. I never gathered there. He gave probably one of the greatest speeches of my lifetime. I have a dream. And one thing, part of a speech that he makes, he says something like this. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty
past. I wasn't with Martin King, and he was talking about segregation. But when I got up from the altar on a Sunday night in 1955, I could shout with the best of them, "Free at last. Free at last, oh God Almighty. My sins have been covered by the blood. They've been washed away. I'm free at last, free at last. Satan has no dominion over me." Hallelujah. Sin does not reign in my body and my life. From the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are walking, that are in the Spirit, that walk not after the flesh. If you're serving God with all of your heart, there is no condemnation. Free at last, free at last. Well, praise God. That's enough to shout about. If the sins have been covered, washed in the blood, amen, amen. We've got something to tell the world about. That's why our church has given over $1 million to missions to share the word. That's why today we help to support 12 different ministries around the world. And we receive testimonies this week as well, as most almost every week, how that God is blessing us and moving in Africa and Kenya and various places of the world. I told you Wednesday night I received a call from one of our missionaries, Maxine Lopez, in Mexico, how God is blessing. And Brother Manuel is the age that I am, and he's pastoring two churches. And we helped build both of those. Our church gave the money for both of those churches in Sinaloa, Mexico. He's trying to share the word that you can be free from sin. Thank God. Thank God. It's a wonderful thing to be free. When it comes to be delivered from sin, the Bible declares in today's scripture reading, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And I say this without any reservation. There's nothing this side of heaven that I've ever experienced, or that I've ever read about, or ever heard about, that is better than serving God, than being free from sin. This is the best life in the world. Go to bed at night and knowing that all is well. Wake up in the morning knowing that all is well. Go on the job, wherever you go, knowing that all is well. Whatever happens, whatever takes place, all is well. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Amen. Amen. Father, right where you're seated, why don't you take just a moment? If you're glad that you're free, American, but most of all, if you're glad you're free from sin, let's just worship Him a moment. Let's just thank Him for a moment. Will you do that with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. You're so good to us, God. And we give you praise and thanksgiving. You're a wonderful Savior. This is a good life. This is a good life. Hallelujah. And we give you glory and thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, glory. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Freedom is a wonderful thing. Thank the Lord. Let me share some examples of what I'm trying to say. I know firsthand that some have been set free in a moment's time from alcohol drinking. I know that. No DTs and no hallucinations and no pink elephants. No 12-step meetings. No social gatherings to give support. I know some firsthand that were delivered from drinking in a moment's time. We're serving a big God. He sets free. I know some firsthand In a moment's time, they were delivered from nicotine from tobacco. Some having smoked 2 or 3 pipes a day. And in one split second of time, when they turned the light over to the Lord, He delivered them. Yet with no patches, no Syntex, no having to switch to lifesavers, a beef jerky, a chewing gum, or something else to take his place, God delivered. He sets free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Freedom is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's true. Regardless of what sin any person has ever had, or ever participated in, or had in your life, He forgives. He saves. He sets free. I'm glad today that He set me free. I'm glad today that I'm one of those that He saved by grace. When writing to the believers in Corinth, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man's sins have been forgiven, if any man is saved by grace, if any man is truly born again, if any man has been set free, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, I added some words in that verse, but I didn't change the meaning of it. If any man, hallelujah, if any man has come to God, if anyone has served God, if any man has been in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God, thank God. And the more I read that, I have that underlined in my Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5, and I don't have it turned there today, but he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And while I was preparing for the service today, a new thought came to me. There's a lot in that verse. There's a lot of preaching material in that verse. But if any man is in Christ, he said, free from sin. You can mark this down. Everyone today that's in Christ is born again. Everyone that's in Christ today, the sins have been covered by the blood. And the name has been written down in glory. They've been forgiven. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then I saw some things at the last part of that verse that sort of stuck out in my mind. Notice, if you will, the 5 words towards the end of the verse, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. When you get saved, you don't have to act like a Christian. Let me say that again. When you get saved, you don't have to act like a Christian. You are one. Have you ever seen folks that tried to act like a Christian? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, was it you? But the Bible says in that 5 words, he is a new creature. Somehow, if I could get this across today, salvation is more than words. Salvation is more than going to some kind of catechism or some kind of training class, whatever church we go to. It doesn't make any difference. It's more than somebody giving you a pad or some kind of study guide. This is what it means to be saved. That's wonderful. That's all right. But when you get saved, if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, I want you to know something. You are a new person. All things are passed away in the Bible. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't stick to those 5 words. You are a new creature. He is a new creature. I don't know about you. When I got saved, I was a better husband than I'd been. I loved my wife in a better measure, a different measure than I loved her before. I said, Brother Jones, didn't you love her before? But you don't even know how to love until you get saved. A sinner doesn't have agape love. And when you get saved, there's something about it that makes all the difference. He is a new creature. I've heard people say, well, when I got saved, the birds began to sing better. The sky was brighter. The grass was greener. No, it wasn't. You were the one. a new creature. And if I could take you there, the church is already gone. But if I could take you there, I believe. I could come maybe within 3 feet after all of these years, since 1955. I believe I could take you within 3 feet in that altar where I knelt when I became a new creature. Brother, this thing is real. Those that are in Christ Jesus are new creatures. Then look at the next 5 words in the same verse. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. I could preach a message here. I don't have time to go up on that line, but let me just say something right here if I can. All things are passed away. That means all the old things. And all the old things, I'm talking about all the old things in the world. All the old things that are not Christ-like. All the old things that are not pleasing to Christ. Some people say, well, Brother Jones, I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised in the Holiness Church, or I wasn't raised this way. When you got saved, brother, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things passed away. He didn't leave you in that mess. All things were gone. That doesn't mean that you didn't have some growing to do. Yes, sir, we still have growing to do. He washed our sins away. The old things passed away. I've had difficulty in my ministry, having people in the church to tell me, but Brother Jones, I just haven't gone. The reason I've still got this habit, the reason I still do this, I haven't gone on the Holy Spirit. What's holding you back? All things will pass away. When you sell out to God, you're a new person in Christ Jesus. All things are gone. Listen to the next part. And behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. 5 words. Amen. All things have become new. My life was new. My marriage was new. My vocabulary was new. My thinking was new. My whole being was new. You say, Brother Jones, that hasn't happened to me. You need to have that experience to go to heaven. That's being born again. That's being in Christ. That's serving the Lord. All things became new. My. Somehow, if I could get that across, like I feel it in my heart, I wonder, let me just go one step further. I know what happens because we backslid as young people. My wife and I were both saved when we were young. Then when we got married, we were living in a backslidden condition. And we did for a year after we got married. And then we walked down the aisle together like 1 year after we got married and got saved, kneeling side by side in the altar accepting Christ. I want to leave this with you. I don't know how you felt that time when you came to God. But I felt like if I don't go today, if I don't go and answer the call, I felt like God was giving me the last call. And I made up my mind, I said, God, if you'll forgive me, I'll stay with you, I'll live for you, I'll serve the Lord. I know I've been in and out. As a young person, I got saved. We would have services and God would deal with my heart and the children would go to the altar. We never had vacation Bible school when I was growing up. We'd go to the altar, we'd have youth service and we'd go to the altar. And I got saved as a child and I'd serve God a while and then I'd go back. I get to high school and then I got saved before I went to service. But then I went back on God. But that time I said, God, if you'll forgive me, if you'll take me back again, I promise you I'll serve you. And he took me back. I've made some blunders, but brother, since 1955 in the month of February, it's been my desire and my goal to serve him with all my heart. All things have become new. This is a good life. This is a wonderful life, serving God. Those three portions of that verse that consist of 5 words each. Just thrilled me when I read that. A new person in Christ. The Bible says he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And I was getting ready to say this, and now I want to bring it to your attention. When somebody has that experience, why in the world would they go back and pick up something that God delivered them from? Why would anyone go back when God has made a new creature, given them new life, showed them the way to go, convicted them, delivered them? And I knew what I'm preaching about. How many have been delivered from sin, set free? God convicted them of this or this or this. And then they prayed and God delivered them from that. And years later, because of some TV preacher or some carnal supposed believer, said there's nothing wrong with that. That's just Brother Jones or that's just somebody else. Listen closely. When God delivers you from something, it's because it's not good for you.
Amen.
You'll do better without it.
Amen.
And I jotted it down. I don't know whether I remember it or not. But if God delivers you from something that is wrong, it will never be right. I didn't read that. I jotted that down last night while I was preparing for the day. If God ever delivers you from something that's wrong, it'll never be right. Regardless of the fads, regardless of the fashions, regardless of what the latter-day charismatic movement, regardless of anything, when God delivers, it's for your good. They'll cause your testimony to be real. And they'll cause your testimony to ring true. Anytime you go back on something that God delivered you from, it can never be right. If I close right there, I have preached the truth. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. The 8th chapter of Romans. Let me use a thought or two. In Genesis we read that Joseph, the oldest son of Jacob and Rachel, was sold by his brothers into Egyptian slavery. When he got to Egypt and he was placed on the slave block, Potiphar bid on him and purchased him as a house servant. In the course of time, as Joseph was in Potiphar's home, one of the leaders in the king's court, Potiphar's wife enticed Joseph, desired for him to be with her, to sin. Joseph refused, because he was a man that God had delivered from sin, serving God. And the Bible said because of that, he was placed in the prison. Now sometimes because you've read the Bible and it tells us that Joseph was elevated in the prison and he became the leader in the jail cells and he was in charge of the other prisoners, that he always had it easy. Let me tell you something. Joseph suffered persecution and affliction in prison. He was beaten. Unmercifully beaten. In prison. According to the book of Psalms. He suffered. But this is the part that I want to share with you. After 13 years away from home, away from the family, away from worship in the house of God, or with God's people, I should say, something happened one day. The king sent a messenger to the jail and said, "Bring Joseph." You find that in the book of Psalms, 105th chapter. The story of Joseph is in Genesis. It tells me that the king sent a messenger. Bring him. Now listen to what I tell you. Joseph might not have known what was going to go on. But there's one thing that I can assure you of. I imagine Joseph was pleased to be delivered from prison. Set free. I believe it was welcome news when it's to be set free to go before the king. I read on in the Bible I read about Peter and John that I preached about the other Sunday. How that they had been instrumental in healing the blind man. They prayed for the blind man at the beautiful gate and God, or the lame man at the beautiful gate and God healed the man. And I always like to preach about that and hear someone else preach about it. Because when that time came when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand. And when he took him by the hand, he lifted the man, the Bible says, and immediately strengthened the man's bones. And he jumped up from there and began to walk and to run and to leap and praise God. Brother, when God makes a new creature, he makes a new creature. Amen, amen. So when the man had been healed, there was a stir in the city. And persecution came. And they put Peter and John in jail. And they told them, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they beat them. And they went back and gathered with the church folks. I'm going to turn there to the book of Acts. I like that verse. 4:31 in the book of Acts. I like that verse. He gathered them together. Listen to this. And when they had prayed, I'm going to go back a little bit. And when they had heard, when Peter and John came back in the 24th verse, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice and drew voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is. I'm going to read the 31st verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They've been in jail. They've been beaten. They've been persecuted because of what God has done. And now the Bible lets me to know that the Holy Ghost begins to minister and to bless them. Listen, if when you're going through a hard place, revival will be wonderful. Amen. I'm praying for revival. I'm hoping for revival. I'm believing for revival. I'm fasting and praying for revival. I want God to send revival because revival is the answer. Amen, amen, amen. Revival is the answer. Peter and John were delivered. Listen to this. The angel came by another time and opened the door for them to come out of prison. I imagine there was a sigh of relief. And they realize we've been delivered, we're out of jail. Now, if you've never been to jail, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Some have. But God saves from every sin. And I'm glad He loves us all enough, whatever our background, He forgives. What a Savior. What a mighty God. David, young man that's been anointed to be the king of Israel. Soon after being anointed, Saul saw that the Lord was with him. And Saul became jealous. And Saul thought he's going to take the throne from me. So Saul pursued David for a year. After year, after year, after year, Saul pursued David to kill him. Day after day, David had to run, hiding out in the caves. We believe that one of the caves that he hid out in the southern part of Israel that we visited while we were there some years ago. Huge cave. Way back yonder, way, it's huge underground cave. David, sometimes he was hemmed in. One time, while he and his men were in a cave, Saul brought his armies and came to that same cave. There were times when it seemed like David was on one side of the hill and Saul's armies were coming on the other side. Always, always having to flee for his life. One day something happened. I don't believe that David was elated. I don't believe that he shouted, but I believe he sighed. He had a sigh of relief. Saul had died in battle. And David could say in his heart, and he mourned for Saul, although Saul had been out to kill him. He mourned for Saul and for Jonathan and the other brothers of Jonathan. I believe you can say this, I'm free. I don't have to run any longer. I don't have to hide out any longer. I'm free. I'm free. Maybe 13 years he had run. But he could say, I'm free. I'm free. I want to leave these words with you, and we're going to pray. Freedom is a wonderful thing. I want us right now, in our minds and in our hearts, I want us to think about what freedom has cost you and me to be in church this morning. I don't know if you watch television, Fox News, or any other channel, but I saw something the other night that I could sit there in tears in my eyes. It was called OurBravest.org. Men that were multiple amputees, some with all both arms and both legs missing, some with both legs and an arm. All of them multiple amputees, and they were trying to raise some money to build homes for those with multiple, so that they, some of those cannot even go through a doorway in my house or yours. They have to have special bathrooms and special kitchens and all the rest. They were asking people to give money because of the condition. So many of those will never be free to run or to play with a little boy or girl or to do things like most of us have had the privilege to do. My heart goes out to people that have given so much for our nation. This Independence weekend, 4th of July weekend, Independence Day. Thank God for independence. Thank God for freedom. Thank God for freedom. And I close. Something greater than being an American, enjoying the freedoms of America. Thank God for being a Christian, enjoying being free from sin. I realize time is running out. I realize it's almost over. But I hope I never forget. I hope I never forget how I felt when God saved me. I hope that feeling never goes away. I hope my mind will be just sharp enough, as long as I live in this body, that I can remember when I came up on that altar, a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be free. It's a wonderful thing to be free. No condemnation. Everything on the altar. Everything committed to God. As my wife comes to the piano, I want to relate just a story that I heard this week. There's a man preaching a tent meeting, Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, I don't know where it was. In the course of the service, a man came in with big overalls on without a shirt. An old gentleman. A bibbed overalls, without a shirt, with a dog, to a tent meeting. He came in and sat and listened, and the dog was lying right beside him. When the altar call was given in the tent meeting, the old man got up and went to the altar and knelt over there, and the dog stayed right there. When the service was over, the man took his dog and left. Someone went to the preacher. Preacher, you should have never allowed that in the altar. You should have never let that happen. A man going to the altar dressed like that. And listen to this. When that man was talking to the preacher the next day or whenever it was, should have never let that happen. The preacher said, did you know? That old man with the bibbed overalls and no shirt died the next morning. Never came back, never had an opportunity to come back to church, but he went to the altar and God forgave him. If I had told him to leave, he might have gone to hell. I leave that with God. That door is wide open for anyone to come. God makes a new creature out of us. What a Savior. Will you stand again?